Oh, shit. Oh, shit. It's going off now.
Welcome to another episode of the Highway Motherfucking Diaries, episode 34. I'm your host, Eric Hollerbach. Sitting with me,
your guest, Chet Wild.
Whoa, look at that. You live under a bridge.
Yeah, I wasn't sure if you picked me up and you drive during it, because, like, some of them have been road trips, right?
Right, yes, that's
this
true.
Is not one of them.
Nope.
But what you didn't realize picking me up was to just park and record. My apartment is directly next to 10 lanes of the 101.
Right, yeah. Yeah, so
I live under an underpass. I'm a bridge troll, essentially.
Yeah, the 101 South troll.
Yeah, that's me. You've heard of me then. Perfect.
So you're from Buffalo, New York?
I am originally from Buffalo. I'm from a small town an hour south of Buffalo, Gowanda, New York, which is even more obscure than Buffalo. There's two prisons there. One of the prisons used to be a mental facility. And then they lost funding or whatever, so they just kicked all the crazies out on the street and turned
homeless.
That into another prison. Yeah, I was homeless. And then they turned that into another prison to essentially put the crazies back in there when they did something illegal. I'm not running a bit, but I feel like that should be a bit now. Mm-hmm.
Sculpting, you know.
Water. Yeah, you got me vitamin water. That's nice. Feel revived. There's fruit punch.
There you go.
Is there high fructose corn syrup
in
this?
No, there is not.
Oh, there's crystalline fructose, but I don't know if that's high fructose corn syrup.
It's a different kind. There's many fructoses.
It's all misleading. I feel like what happens is the public gets educated about things that are bad, and then they just give it a different label. So you check the label, and it's like, oh, that thing that they had the Yahoo News article on is no longer on there, so I can drink this, but crystalline fructose is probably a worse version of high fructose corn syrup.
We're not scientists here. I don't know what kind of syrups.
I don't know. Or sometimes they have corn starch salads. What does that mean? Saw that on a Bex macaroni and cheese the other day.
Solids of corn starch?
Mm-hmm. I was not feeling well. I was going for some comfort food, but trying to eat healthier. And it said corn starch salads. Or maybe it was high fructose
corn starch solids.
I don't know. It was something that, too many words for an ingredient, but hey, I ate the mac and cheese and I'm here to talk about it.
Wow. You are a part of the Dunk Tank podcast.
I am a part of the Dunk Tank podcast. It's like this, but not in a car.
What do you talk about?
We have a guest like you do, and then instead of asking that guest questions like you're supposed to, Brian and I usually just somehow make it about us. That happens a lot.
I just have guests on so I can, you know, talk about me and rant, and just so if I'm just sitting here screaming about the Pope, for example, so I'm not alone.
Yeah, do you have something you want to talk about? This doesn't have to be about me. We can make it about you.
Don't worry about this.
The Pope's not bothering you today?
The new guy?
Yeah.
Not a Nazi. That's all I can say.
That's a requirement for a Pope. There should be, some background, official background of, yeah.
Then all of a sudden,
the president, not a white guy. So many things going on in this world. Bert Murray may or may not be gay, according to the news articles I was clicking on my computer today. Like, there's some, they're going to be on the cover of something. The New York Post, New York Times, one of those
going
things.
Back in the closet?
They're supposed to be on the cover because of all other things that passed this week. And it's like, from what I understand, the cover's implying that Bert and Ernie are gay. But the people at Sesame Street, on many occasions, have said they're Muppets, like they were meant to show two people that don't have a lot in common can still be good friends, and they have no sexual orientation, or they're fucking Muppets, you know? So we should find, like,
that's a twist on the article. It's like, are they gay? Aren't they gay?
Yeah.
Well, you know, they're foam Muppets.
No, they're Muppets. Yeah. It's just people trying to, but then some people are really pushing, like, they should be gay to teach our children. And Sesame Street's like, that's not a thing. We should go back and find other couples that are humans and maybe weren't gay at the time the TV came out. And now,
maybe,
like,
they were a Muppet.
Yeah. Or get a gay, my two dads, Paul Reiser, maybe he's a Muppet. Maybe him.
I've always thought that.
And Greg, what's his name? Who was the other dad, the less famous dad? You know what I'm talking about? My Two Dads?
He's less famous. Yeah, I don't...
And then it had the girl, the daughter, played Dana in Step by Step, I believe.
Hmm.
So, this trivia, not doing anything for you?
You are a man on the street.
I am a man on the street.
You went outside Buffalo, some kind of Buffalo game.
Oh, yeah, I have a... Well, I used to have...
Or in Chicago one, and then in Venice Beach.
Yeah, Venice. No, Buffalo. I haven't been to Chicago. I mean, I've been to Chicago. I haven't done
that. Oh,
yeah,
you ran into a lady from Chicago.
Yeah, I go... You've been watching my YouTube videos.
Well, you know.
Preparation. It's like this. There's a microphone, except for there's a camera, and then I just talk to strangers. Like, we don't really know each other that well. We've done two shows together.
Yeah.
And then I...
But, you know, when you're comedians, it's very quick. It's like, hey, man, I liked your set.
We're brothers now.
You know, and then it's like, that's it.
Do you want to sit in my car and have a conversation? That seems...
Pretty simple.
That seems healthy. How did you feel about that last show, by the way?
Okay.
We did a contest.
Okay.
Neither of us caring about the contest. But you've won the contest on several occasions.
And I cared about it enough to be like, hey, I want a third time champion. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Because you've won it twice.
You win three in a row. That's pretty cool. So then I just wanted something to brag about.
That's something you could put in your bio.
Okay. So then, you know, Stephen Briggs, he goes up, you know... There's not a lot of people in the crowd. It seems like no one's really given anybody too much love. You had a good set, though.
Well, the top two comics go on to the quote-unquote lightning round, where you have 90 seconds to, like, rapid-fire comedy, and then the audience votes again. I got to the lightning round, but I tried to throw my set. I pointed out there was a guy in the audience eating a cheeseburger with a flashlight... Like, the little flashlight on the table. I kept laughing during my set, and I asked his name. His name was Ian. And I told everybody to vote for Ian. I truly didn't want to advance, and I think that backfired on me.
Well, then the girl who won, name was... Well, let's keep that. You can research
this. She was a nice enough
girl,
but she struggled to fill her 90 seconds. She literally told street jokes.
She struggled to fill her first 5 minutes, too, and was... didn't know what to say. No one laughed. No, for anything the whole time. And then she is in the lightning round with you.
Yeah.
And I wanted a fucking recount immediately. I was like Al Gore, you know.
Yeah. Once I got to the lightning round, I actually wanted to win. The reason I wanted to lose was because if I lost and didn't have to stick around, I could go to this pizza place in Burbank that closed at 9 that people have been telling me about. But then I moved on. All I'd been thinking about all day was how I'm going to get this pizza. Like, there's no way I'm going to move on in this contest because I'm not bringing anybody.
Yeah.
It's audience vote. And then I move on, so now I have to stick around for the fucking thing. And then I didn't win, and I didn't get the pizza. So I lost to street jokes. Which, the girl wasn't, like, claiming they were hers. She just had 90 seconds and didn't know what to say. So it was like a guy walks into a whatever and doesn't get pizza. The joke was about me.
And then she won the contest at the end. As egregious as it was, she made the lightning round. She actually won.
Yeah. And
nicest
I got no pizza.
Nicest girl you'll ever meet.
Yeah, she was...
Sweetheart. Something was up.
You should get her on the podcast.
Did she... Was I think she, like... Works for Diebold, you know, the company that makes, you know, automatic voting machines in Florida. And, she can, like, I think...
We need a recount, like,
think she was like, hey, let's make this, like, an electric ballot. And then we're like, ooh.
What are the Florida votes count? The Chads, like a hanging Chad or the different... Remember when Bush, the Gore recount, there were different things where people didn't punch them all the way through.
Right.
They got down on the technicalities.
Right. Yeah. So she's like, hey, let me take care of that for you. There's some, like, partially punched cards. We're not sure on the votes. She's like, it's electronic now. And then she just had it go haywire.
Or more realistically, there weren't a lot of people there, and she brought, like, 4 people, which won the vote.
Okay.
I think that's what happened.
This is what I think happened.
Okay.
The Russians were caught in the Olympics one time. You know what I mean? They were judges in the Olympics of figure skating, and they were corrupt. And the chick fell over who they were supposed to vote for, and they still gave her, like, top marks. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, she anticipated, like, hey, I'm going to rig this election. But then she, like, fell over and broke her ankle, and then, like,
was really... Tanya Harding that came in and Nancy Kerrigan.
During the performance, she was, you know, she bombed. And then the vote comes out, And so now I know that the system's corrupt.
This conversation just got so out of hand, and I don't even know when it happened. We were grounded in reality, and before I knew it, total world of delusion.
Master's degree. You got a master's degree.
I have a master's degree.
In what?
Creativity.
Shut up.
That's a thing.
What does that mean?
It's a master of science in creative studies. Focuses on, like, creative problem solving, change leadership.
Did you get that at a vegan co-op?
I wish that would have been less expensive. I feel like a vegan co-op doesn't have anything that costs $24,000 on the menu. That's a state school education, everybody.
Where'd you go?
The International Center for Studies and Creativity at Buffalo State College. Wow. And it is a legit program. I always shit on it when people ask me because I'm a comedian. And it's really, when I shit on that program, what I'm saying is I've done nothing with my life. So I'm going to pretend blame it on you. But really, it's a legit program and lots of people have jobs. And it's the world's largest collection of creativity literature is housed there. The term brainstorming came from a convention at Buffalo in the 1940s or whatever when the president of the American Psychological Association was talking about there needing to be a greater call to this academic field that he was calling creativity. And he was talking about generating, like, clouds of ideas, and some girl in the audience is like a brainstorm, and that's where it came from. So the legend goes.
You know, at first it was, like, based in reality, but
yeah. Now it's so far-fetched.
It's so that's far gone.
That's a $24,000 piece of information right there. I just saved what you the degree.
What is a class like at Creativity Master's Program?
There's three strains in which the classes, there's a series of classes that fall under like the practical hands-on creative problem solving, so like group facilitating, like you go in as a consultant potentially, you know, that's one thing you could do, and like companies that have problems you'll go through this thing called the creative problem solving process, and there's a whole science to it. That's the thing. I've never been in a sweat lodge, but I feel like this car is becoming it. Because the car's off, the windows are up.
I know.
It's 90 degrees out.
For acoustic purposes.
And then I keep talking as I'm drinking, so that's good for acoustic.
Okay, you know what? Here, we're going to go on a little road trip.
Are we really?
We're going to find some place not under a bridge. Not because, you know, you live like a mole person.
We don't have to, but if it gets us AC, are we going to continue to talk while you're driving?
I guess so. Do you mind holding the...
Yeah. Zoom? I'll just hold it right here.
Cool.
Now, do you edit this, or is this one long?
No, okay. I edit it in GarageBand.
Look at that lady.
I make myself sound way smarter than...
She's got a Dalmatian.
The pot I smoke would suggest.
Yeah, that was smart of me. Oh, was that? You smoked a lot of pot? Yeah, this staying still is too much for me. Let's drive.
Let's watch a Little League game. Cheer them on.
We just drove to the other side of the overpass where there's a park.
Yeah.
And then we rolled the windows down, and now we're going to talk about pot when there's a cop parked from us four spots down.
Everyone's so paranoid about talking about pot, and it really pissed me off.
Let's talk about it.
My friend Devin Murphy just moved here from New York City. How long have you been in L.A.?
4 months.
Okay, yeah. So, you're from Buffalo, New York. Totally illegal there. Not even medical. It got approved for medical in New Jersey, but then the new governor came in and blocked it and isn't issuing any dispensary licenses, so you can't do it legally in New Jersey. But look, I can smoke a joint in a cop's face and flick it onto his dick. You know why? I got a medical recommendation in my motherfucking pocket.
I feel like if the cop's dick was out and you were able to flick a joint on it, there are bigger problems than... potentially the marijuana laws.
It just seems like that's the kind of places I hang out at because I would have to practice that shot a lot.
Either
I got like a pickle stuck in the doorway and I'm like flicking butts in it 24/7 to like make that shot, you know. You have a master's degree.
Yep.
In creativity.
Creative studies. That's a real thing.
You know what? Buffalo has a long history of creativity. You know, one corporate guy once, pointed to someone in a crowd and said, brainstorm, and then all of a sudden that was a, like, propaganda for Buffalo.
There you go, you're already... You know what's funny is the Center for Studies and Creativity is in Buffalo, but I don't think anyone in Buffalo knows it other than the people there.
Right.
Like, I stumbled upon the program. But then you go in the program, and then there's people flying over from Australia and England, and it's, you know, it has this reputation, and people come from all over to study there, but people locally aren't that aware of the program.
Yeah. And I went to New School University in New York City. You don't know how many times people go, what new school? It's a new school.
Yeah, it's like who's on first.
New School University, Eugene Lang College. That, sometimes I just say Eugene Lang College because they're like, I definitely never heard of that.
Yeah, the comedy club that I, that was my home club starting, was called The Comedy Club. That's the name of it. So people be like, oh, what's your home club? The Comedy Club. Which one? The one in Rochester. What's its name? The Comedy Club.
No, the one in Rochester.
Yeah, the new school. No, not the old school. Why am I still, why did I buckle up for us to drive 8 feet?
Do you have a day job?
I should get one because those savings are running low. Mm. But I came out here with enough money to live for 4 to 6 months, and we're at 4.5 months, so there can't be that much left, can there?
So you, let me...
I'm only doing this podcast because I needed a vitamin water and can't afford one. Thank you.
Let me get this straight. You came out here, from Buffalo after getting a master's degree. Yeah, I mean, maybe you, like... where, like, that master's degree was, like, such a high-level investment that, like, you can make $1 million, like, right away and then pay off all your school and then have, like, 6 months to live. You know what I mean? So is that, that's what happened? Where'd you work? Where'd you make that lump sum?
Telling jokes, man. If you don't live in L.A. or New York City, people will actually give you money to do that. It's
what?
A crazy... concept. The I find the further you are away from, like, civilization and big cities, the more money people are willing to give you.
It's I gotta crazy. Do that. I gotta go on tour.
But I had a day job where I worked for this not-for-profit organization, and then I was the only white person and the only male in the office. And then there were a lot of I got hired for the job. And the director of that program did not want me hired for the job. They created the position for their friend, and I just happened to apply for the job and was grossly overqualified, so they had to give it to me. And then she openly said in a meeting, you're only here because of your skin color. Which is weird, because I'm a white guy. You know what I mean? How many white people can say that...
Affirmative action worked for them.
Like reverse affirmative action. So, so that just led to... a series of things that ultimately led to nobody having jobs because that program doesn't exist anymore. So that was my last real job. And that was... I worked in higher education in various roles, and I kind of just burned out, and I had an opportunity to pursue stand-up for a while, and I did in Buffalo and throughout the Northeast. And then you know, you see what happens to the people that only do that.
Mm-hmm.
And for some people, that's their life, that's their dream, that's fine. That is not the life I want to end up with.
A life as just a stand-up?
Just the guy that, you know, does the road every weekend. And I don't know. I love stand-up comedy, but I want to do more in comedy beyond stand-up. That should make sense to you. Like, you come from a UCB improv background, right? And then you kind of got into stand-up.
Mm-hmm.
Where I'm the other way. Like, I started as stand-up, and now I'm getting into the UCB and sketch and writing world more.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, and I made web series, you know, Damien Shadows and stuff. So...
yeah, and Funny or Die, right?
Mm-hmm. Thanks, man. We've done our a little bit cursory research on each other, it seems. Google and, I mean, each other's websites make it very easy now to distill what's important, you know?
That's what I did. I looked at your podcast, and I saw you had Quincy Jones and Evan Cassidy and Emilio on and Bobby Slate. And I'm like, oh, those are all people I like. I'll do this.
Oh, thanks, man. You met the amazing Jonathan.
Oh, now you're just literally going through my photos.
Your Facebook feed history.
That's funny. Yeah, okay. I met the amazing Jonathan.
First of all, I have to just say... I love the amazing Jonathan. It's not like I just went, oh, the amazing Jonathan. Well, I'm just looking at your feed. I saw that and I went, fucking Christ, man.
Yeah.
Because then also your comment. I saw his Lounge Lizard special 100 times on Comedy Central.
Yeah, they used to. Too. I think that was the only comedy special
probably.
They had for a year. Because that's one of the first early, like, stand-up specials I remember influencing me and maybe making me think, oh, I could maybe want to do this someday. And it was so good. And
the chaos he creates on stage. He literally tells he brings up people from the audience and then has them drink a blue liquid. I'm sure it's blue, like whatever. And he goes, and then they're like, "What is that?" And he goes, "Dishwashing liquid." And he leaves it like that. And he just fucks with the people he has on. And
I'm not
crazy.
A huge fan of magicians, but I don't really consider him a magician. You know, he's a he's a really funny comic who purposely does shitty magic.
Yeah, he's like plays this con artist character, like this con sleazy Vegas guy, but he's fucking hilarious.
And it's funny you mention that because I met him at like an industry panel at the World Series of Comedy event in Vegas, and he was talking, doing like a Q&A, and he basically said like how much he lied and stuff to get to the top, and I'm not following that career path. I'm trying to do things honestly. But he's like, yeah, even things on the billboards in Vegas now that from whatever the New York Times or whatever, I just made those up. It was so absurd to hear that. And it's like, oh, wow.
He's a bad motherfucker.
Yeah, and he's doing all sorts of things beyond comedy, too. He's opening, like, his own haunted house in Vegas and doing movies. And
He was so hilarious.
It was cool to meet him.
Yeah. Him and, do you know Kenny Hotz? He's my other big influence.
I know Jeremy Hotz.
You gotta watch the show Kenny versus Benny.
Oh yeah, okay, no, I do know Kenny now. I watched the American version, because don't they have an initial version?
The one that ran on Comedy Central.
Yeah, that's the one.
Who Can Blow the Biggest Fart?
Yeah, how did that show not get picked up more?
That's the funniest thing ever.
That show, I was surprised, never got picked up more, and the Andy Milonakis show I thought was really funny too.
You know what? I never got into Andy Milonakis.
Well, fuck Andy Milonakis.
How old are you?
I am 29. How old are you?
27.
Oh.
Close, yeah.
We both look like we could be in our 30s. Weird how that works.
Fucking tell me about it.
And then do you still do a lot of improv?
No, I totally quit because I did UCB in New York. Then I started to, and I actually was on the main stage for a little bit, with a show called The Spin, and then, you know, they don't give you any money or anything. It's not like that helps you out. Other than I get to say that. I get to put that on a billboard and it be true.
And you get to perform in front of hot crowds.
Yeah, that was pretty cool. So then I moved out here. I started trying to get back in with the UCB. But I saw, because it's LA, the one that they moved in here, I find that this one out here is very, like, the UCB's like, well, how many Twitter followers do you have? You know, what are you going to do for us?
Yeah, and are you going to put asses in the seats?
Yeah.
So it's becoming like stand-up.
And that's what's fucking bullshit, because if you don't pay people, you know what I mean? Then it's like, oh, my job is to put asses in the seats? No, it's your job to fucking promote. You go, these are the best motherfuckers, and we're standing by them. You know what I mean? So, I don't know. I got a little... You know what I mean? If your goal is to be on a UCB house team and that's your goal, it's not some crappy comedy contest at Flappers, and it seems like the voting machine is rigged, you start to get a little edgy.
You know what's funny? Right before this, I did a contest show at Flappers. I just went to the set list open mic. You know the set list, you know, they give you the topics and you have to pretend like you have a set.
I gotta try that.
It was fun. It's fun every Friday.
At Flappers?
Yeah, in the bar at 5. It was the not-a-contest... It was the non-contest contest. And it was basically Troy, the guy that runs it. He was just giving a bunch of prizes, but there was no real contest. It's like you go up, then you walk off stage, and there's a table prizes, and you just grab whatever. And there were, like, books and DVDs and stuff. And there were... I was very late in the lineup, and no one took the 4 free tickets to Flappers because they're all comedians thinking, well, why would I need tickets? So that's the first thing I took. I took the tickets, so now I can get, next time I need people to come out to a show, just be like, oh, here are free tickets.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I was very proud of myself.
Yeah, because I mean, one time a bunch of people, I bought you can get 5 tickets for $25. It's a reduced rate. Yeah. And then I had 5 people who were going to show up, and then they all evaporated.
And then you just paid.
And then I paid $25. And then they, like, come up to you and they give you a drink, you know?
Yeah.
And it's like,
$25 drink. Would you rather pay $25 for a drink or $24,000 to know that one piece of information I gave you?
$24,000.
I made the right choice. Let's make sure we edit this so we're not shitty all over Flappers either.
I love Flappers.
I love Flappers.
Flappers gave me a shot. It's a nice looking club, and I perform there, you know, every 6 weeks or sometimes every 2 weeks.
Yeah, I feel like I'm there every other week on a book show, and then I go to the mics during the... I mean, it's nice because it's so close to here.
Yeah.
And for the most part, the comics there are cool. And,
So what happens? Are you worried that you're going to have to, you know, move out, move back?
Oh, thanks, Mom.
Dad. I'm just asking.
No, I'm going to be fine.
That as a friend.
I just got back from New York last week. Like, I was home visiting, and then that was kind of like, all right, I'm going to come back, job search. So I'm job searching now, and I'll land something, right? I got that degree. It's got to lead to something. Things are going to be fine.
Mm-hmm.
It's that whole, you say it, you put it out to the universe, it's going to happen, right? Or is that delusion? I get confused which that is. Yeah, what do you do for work?
I feel bad because, I mean, I just got the best job of my life.
Yeah?
I work for I'm a story assistant on a reality show. And,
can you say what show or?
Yeah, it's called Nashville Confidential. Basically, they're shooting the show in Nashville currently. There's people there, a whole crew of PAs and camera guys and field producers, and then they send us the notes and the footage. And then basically, we're just kind of putting the show together. And we're like taking the clips that look fun, and then we're putting them out on the Avid machines, and then the editors will, you know, we'll work with the editors to sculpt down the show. It's the best job I've ever had in my life. I used to be a PA for a lot of MTV shows, and they're the cheapest fucking shows ever. And I'm going the record to say this, like, you would think that making the band, like, a show with Puff Daddy in it, like, you know, ugh. There's
still behind the scenes, very low budget, cutting corners.
Yeah, and they brought everyone, all the PAs in one by one. Our rate was $150 a day, and they're like, you're gonna have to take a pay cut to $140 a day now. After we agreed to a certain amount of time and a certain amount of and then I find out that the line producer on that show, like, bought on budget, like, went on a Williams Sonoma shopping spree for her own personal Thanksgiving. She got like $1,600 in cutlery and bronze fucking whatever. Then we all take a pay cut.
Maybe that's why he took the pay cut, so she could afford it.
Yeah.
That's how it feels anyway when those things happen.
Pay cut her face off, you know?
Yeah. Send that in a note and not get arrested.
Bologna sandwich.
So do you want, is this what you want? You want to work in reality TV?
It's a pretty good day job, yeah. It's pretty good. And then you work on a show for a while, and then you have a little hiatus between shows.
And then you just can go focus stand on up. Your stand-up stuff.
So I really want to know, like, how do you get on the road? How do you start, like, you know, how do you know that? Because you've headlined shows before, something I've not done, you know?
There's this weird thing when you come to... like, almost all of your time in comedy has been spent in New York or L.A., right?
Only in... Yeah.
So, like, you talk to L.A. comics that have been doing it for a while, and they're like, oh, what's it like to do 20 minutes? You know? Like, just because those opportunities simply, for the most part, don't exist out here. There's so many comics.
My longest show was 7 minutes.
Really?
Yeah.
You've never done a set longer
Maybe
than 7?
Maybe 10 minutes one time. That's it.
Really?
Yeah.
It was good for me to go home for a week because I got to do a couple sets that are like 40, 50 minutes long. And it reminded me like, oh, I am. Now, this sounds bad given what you just said, but it's, in my mind, I'm like, oh, I'm a legit comic. Which, not that anyone that, but only doing 7 minutes, if you want to do any storytelling or really open up or get deep with the audience, it's hard to, the deeper you get or the more truthful you get, like, especially if you're talking about health things or like, you know, some messed up relationship story, it's hard to do that right off the front without being off-putting an audience. It's like an improv, how the further you go with a game, the more you earn to be, like, crazy or weird or say messed up stuff. So, like, I feel like with a longer set in stand-up, if I can use 5 minutes to establish likability, then I can, you know, the audience likes me, they trust me, I can take them different places.
Yeah.
That sounded way more contrived than it meant to be.
No, but you, as soon as you get up there, you hit them with like 6 jokes, get them laughing, then they like you, then it's like, okay, now listen to me, I'm going to tell a good story now.
Yeah.
Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, and that's how I feel. Like, they're more invested in you. And then you can do, you know, callbacks and all your stuff can come together, and it's a lot of fun. And that's, like, the stand-up I love doing. It's so hard to do that. And plus, like, I like doing crowd work. Not necessarily, like, who are you from? What do you do? But just weaving, you know, organic crowd interaction conversation in my bits. And I do almost zero crowd work out here because there's no time. Your time on stage is so precious. You can't waste it taking a risk at, oh, this may or may not be funny. Plus, you never know who's watching you, so you kind of...
Yeah.
You know, you go to shows and then you find out, you know, some casting director or somebody that's putting together, you know, some showcase series was there. So you want to kind of, even at mics, always bring your best game or your best version of yourself. But to answer your question, what was it? What's it like to feature?
Well, I guess, like, how do you... So you incubate in Los Angeles for a while. You never get paid because there's... Everywhere you go is a comedian willing to just do a set free for a hot crowd to work on some stuff.
I've gotten paid a couple times, and it felt really good because it had... Like, before I moved out here, I was like, oh, I got to do this for $100. And then, like, last weekend, I got paid $120 for two shows. I'm like, oh, this is amazing.
So how do you know that you're ready? You're incubated enough? You got your 30 minutes or whatever to middle?
I don't think you're ever... ready for any step in comedy. Like, the first time you MC, you're probably not ready to MC. The first time you feature and think you have 30 minutes, you probably don't have a good 30 minutes. The first time you headline, you probably don't have the material to headline. But and there will be
some
people...
fake articles on your billboard or on the advertisement.
I'm not
you
going
lie,
to...
You cheat, and you fucking make shit up.
Oh, I'm not...
No,
I mean,
that's
100%
what you should do.
That's,
are you fucking crazy?
I don't think that's what you should do at all.
Yeah.
But I don't have the success to back that up. So why should anyone listen to me? But I do think there is... I mean, if you look back when you first started and, like, your best 5 minutes, and in your mind you might be like, I'm ready for Conan. And then you look back at that 5 minutes now, like, hopefully you're doing a totally different 5 minutes.
Right.
Would you still stand by that material? Or are you just like, oh, I was so new and naive. What did I know?
Yeah, I was terrible.
Yeah. And that's... I mean, now I think I'm pretty good, but I'm sure I'll look back in 2 years and be like, nope, what was I thinking?
Yeah.
So, I don't think you're ever... I mean, if you're funny, you're getting laughs, then you get the opportunities, or you can... There are opportunities you can chase, go for it. Like, you've been doing it long enough, you should definitely be doing more than 7 minutes. Hell, you won the Sunday Open twice.
Twice. I'll just say undefeated and pretend that the last show never happened, because honestly, if you were there, you'd say, what's going on? Where's the voting machine?
No one was there, so we don't have to worry.
Can we strap everyone, like, laughometers onto everyone's cock and get an honest fucking result?
Because that's where the laughter
comes. I wanted three wins in a row, and I'm bitter.
Oh, in a row. So the two were, okay.
I gotta say, though, I used to bust my ass as a PA. I used to, whatever, today, it's the same production company that makes the Housewives of Atlanta. They installed a margarita machine. I got a coffee mug, because I'm a professional working person. And I drank a margarita today while sitting in air conditioning and putting together a show. I mean, I've never had it so good, and I think that I'm going to get shot or hit by a bus in like 4 days.
I hope the cameras are rolling. I'm just saying, if something bad's going to happen to you, why not have video evidence?
I totally agree.
At least the chance to go viral.
I totally agree. And here's the thing with funerals or whatever. Why does everyone have the same funeral? Hunter S. Thompson, he got shot out of a cannon into the Grand Canyon. That was his funeral. And he,
That legally happened? Or they had to, like, set that up and...
No, he asked Johnny Depp to do it. I guess Johnny Depp was a big Hunter S. Thompson fan. He was in his movies and stuff, you know.
I don't know, one of the jokes I was doing was, I lost 50 pounds in Buffalo. I really did. I lost 50 pounds last year.
Congratulations.
Thanks,
man.
And people were like, oh, you know, you look really good. And then I kind of, my weight plateaued, so I didn't move out here for comedy. I just moved out here so, once again, people would consider me a fat fuck and I'd be motivated to lose weight. Like, that's...
In Buffalo, are the people way fatter?
I mean, I think anywhere compared to L.A., people are...
Really?
Significantly... Yeah. Don't you think so?
I don't know.
I feel like this is a particularly thin town.
Yeah, that might be true.
The contrast in lifestyles. Being home, I would be going out every night at 2 in the morning for, like, a breakfast with my friend. Like, breakfast and dessert. And then I'm out here, and I'm like, oh, I might grab a slice of pizza with my friends. It's weird.
Yeah.
I can't explain it, but they're just going home. I'm like, why am I not feeling good? Oh, because I'm eating a huge meal before bed every night, and that's just the normal thing with my friends, who I love my friends dearly. But it's just something different compared to here.
Oh, my God. I've had fucking cookies and ice cream the last two nights, and I'm starting to get so backed up. Luckily, I have a salad a lot of days, and I feel like a salad is like the etch-a-sketch of the colon. It can, like, erase your mistakes.
Yeah, wipe things out.
But I've been, oh, my God.
Yeah, switch over to the almond milk ice cream.
Is that better for you?
Yeah, way less fattening, and if dairy creates issues for you.
I've had almond milk, though. It kind of tastes like, you know. I was going to say cum.
I was going to say, are you going for milk or cum there?
No, cum, yeah. Hmm. And, you know, let's talk about this. Yeah, sure, why not? I've tasted my own cum. Who cares?
That's something, I think that's part of human nature.
You're, and if you're like, oh, I've never tasted my own cum, if you're out there, I've never tasted my own cum, then you know what? You're not living dangerously.
I will
because
say...
Because you got a sample, like, you got to experience something. Oh, I haven't, you know, got fucked by a horse in Seattle to death. Oh, I haven't done this. Oh, you know what? That's someone who hasn't lived life. They haven't experienced anything. That's
You know what is living dangerously?
What?
Sitting in a parked car with your windows down, shouting about this as we're right in front of a Little League stadium next to a cop.
There's Little Leagues. There's cops. I'll smoke pot. I'll fucking flick my cigarette butts in a kid's face.
You'll show them that you can eat your own semen.
You should lie and cheat and claw your way to the top.
Thank you, the amazing Jonathan. Your message lives on.
I'm only pissed off at myself that I didn't rig the election at our fucking flapper show.
Next time, I got those free tickets to bring people out.
There's a whole genre of men on the street of asking people just a funny little
thing. Certainly something other people do and are much more successful at it.
You're very likable and you're just really funny on it.
Thank you. I am very misleading in those videos.
Yeah, those videos are great.
In 2000, I think I started making it in late 2009, early 2010, just for fun with friends that had cameras. I'm like, oh, let's go mess with people on the street. I was part of this group called Buffalo Sketch Comedy. So I think the first one was just creating a teaser video to promote our show and having some video content we could add to the show. And then I got hired by this now defunct website called Skunk Post that was owned by Hearst Media. And I was hired as like a comedic video journalist. So I will get paid $10 an hour to go shoot videos, mess with people on the street, edit it, post it, promote it, and that was my job for 4 months. That's what I did. So I have a lot of videos from 2010. So if you look at my YouTube channel, you'll be like, oh, he was a lot heavier and had longer hair. And then I didn't make any videos, any men on the street in 2011 or 2012. And then I was moving out here, and I went to start cutting up reels for, you know, acting or showing comedic talent, whatever. And then I realized, oh man, I've lost like 60, 70 pounds and cut my hair short and look a lot different than I do in most of the videos that I've created. So I really need to start creating content. And then I started shooting those, and then I remembered, oh, this is fun. I think what happened was after that company folded as well, and I was used to getting paid to make these fun videos, then I was like, oh, I have to go do this for free. Like, I had some false sense of, like, I deserve to get paid to do this. Or just, it's more fun when you're getting paid to do it, you know? So I started doing them for fun again. I put out two this year so far. I shot a third one while I'm home. That'll be out later this month. And then I just found a guy out here with gear who wants to collaborate. So hopefully I'll go down to the beaches and mess with people. And it's just fun to do. And maybe it'll pay off to some comedy opportunity someday. If not, I just like creating things that people who like me on the internet can watch it.
Check out Chet Wild. What's your Twitter feed?
At Chet Wild.
At Chet Wild.
ChetWild.com.
ChetWild.com.
Facebook.com/ChetWild.
What's your YouTube called?
It's YouTube.com/TheChetWildShow. Someone has Chet Wild.
Who the fuck is Chet Wild?
I don't know. They don't use it at all, but someone poached it.
Are you sure that's not you when you were drunk one night and after you masturbated and then don't remember the password?
Maybe. You've smoked up, you've had a margarita, you got some vitamin water, you were sitting in
It's called preparation.
What's the record for most locations you've driven to and stopped for one podcast?
I'd say probably, like, some of them we did while we were driving.
Okay.
So, you know, it's hard to beat that.
Those don't count. Like, the intent of recording with your car off, and then you ended up in a different location, what's the record?
I'd say just one location.
This is our third location.
Yeah.
Technically, I mean, we pulled in 7-Eleven. We didn't record
this before. Well, I go to your house. You live under the fucking 101. It's too loud to record there.
How great is it that the place you pulled up to this time, you roll down the window, were comics, and I don't know if the recorder's picking up. There's literally crickets out the fucking window. So now,
already judging
my bits
us.
Bomb. Yeah.
Although a lot of people ask us if we're Jewish. I was like, Chet, are you Jewish? You know, Chet's a bit of a weird name. You know, you don't know if that's like...
A lot of Jews named Chet, apparently.
Well, if it's Chach, yeah. You know, you don't know where it's what the Hebrew translation
Wild,
is.
Wild, typical Hebrew name.
Does it come up a lot, people ask you?
It does, specifically if I wear suspenders. Like, and I don't do that anymore. Like, at a couple weddings and stuff, I'm like, for a while, I'm like, oh, I'm going to wear suspenders instead of a belt. And then I look very Jewy in black pants, a white shirt, suspenders, and then I kind of got the curly hair thing going on.
Yeah.
People started lifting me in a chair and dancing. What is that about? So I stopped doing that. Not Jewish. What are you?
I was raised Catholic.
Okay.
But now I guess I'm just atheist. Nothing. I don't know.
I feel like I'm more agnostic than atheist. Like something.
Yeah, I don't know.
I mean, you want to believe something's out there, but it's hard. As like lame of an argument as this is, as it's been said so many times, it's just hard to like listen to people tell me like Jesus loves us all equally and blah blah blah, and then they're like, "Well, these people are wrong." They're like hypocrites of their own practices.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Most organized religion doesn't seem to resonate with me.
And if you're organized behind one guy, that means you're missing what the other guys are saying. And then after a while, you go, oh, you know what? The only one who I need to listen to is my own conversation with the cosmos, and everyone else can fuck off. Yeah. The other day when I was playing ping pong, I would, like, just in between rounds, I would just calm my mind and go to a happy place. And then I would do very much better at ping pong because I was calm. That's, you know, any religion is going to be just as good as that. Let's talk about insecurity. Because, you know, sometimes as comics, like, there were little things between each other where, like, oh, I'm sorry, I didn't want to offend you.
Yeah.
I didn't want to light a joint in front of you. I didn't want to offend you because I know that you don't smoke pot, so I don't want to light a joint all. And then you're like, it's in my face now, you know?
Yeah. Well, we're talking in 7-Eleven. I said something to you that I'm like, oh, sorry, I didn't mean that. And then we start talking about, of course, the recorder wasn't on for the good conversation. But, like, both of us being back from the Northeast...
Don't judge it.
Ball busting is a lot more common.
Yeah.
Whereas out here, people don't know how to take it.
Yeah.
And the way people give each other shit is, like, much more passive-aggressively.
Yeah.
And then so you find yourself like, oh, I'm sorry, I didn't mean... I was just joking. Like, you shouldn't have to do that. And then, I don't know, you just... I think you put it really well when you were saying, as comics, it's hard to have normal conversation because you think the other person is, like... breaking you down in their head and analyzing you and really they don't give a put a second
thought
into what
you said. But it's our perspective. When we, our eyes looking through the gears of judging everything, trying to change something into a joke, trying to slam somebody, it makes you, when you're walking around in the world, or like deduce a heckler down to a fucking cum joke and throwing him against the wall and having everyone laugh at him, this humiliated piece of nothing who tried to heckle your show. Then when you walk around as a normal person, it's hard to assimilate without thinking that everyone's trying to slam you or everyone's trying to...
Yeah,
you know?
Get very defensive.
Because also comics bust balls all the time, you know?
Yeah. But even out here, I feel like comics don't... At least the comics I'm around don't bust balls as much.
Like, I was making fun of your creative master's degree.
You were? I thought you were being sincere and being interested in...
See, in my head, I was making fun of it.
No,
you
I
know what I mean? But it's like,
and I saw that coming, so I had to beat you to the punch, and then shit, assuming you leave all that in and don't edit that out, but then I shit on the degree, but like, oh, I'm sorry, it's a legit degree, I just shit on myself because that's what I do. Even then, I apologize to...
What is with these layers of apologizing for what, fuck all of that.
I know.
You know what you should do? Christians, you should take all your Bibles and write down everything you don't like about yourself and put it all on the floor. Scatter it on the floor, like in Save the Cat. You know, if you want to learn screenwriting, you want to get Save the Cat. It teaches you to organize your notes for writing. Organize all your problems, and then you know what you do? You piss, you cum, and you shit on them. You put them in the dumpster, and you throw everything out, and then you go, look, I got me. I got this. I'm a fucking wizard of flesh and bones.
I feel like you could do the last part without needing to do the first three things. That might be a bit excessive.
No, you gotta write it down. You gotta, otherwise you're not organized.
Sure.
You gotta write your jokes down.
Oh, I meant the pissing and the shitting and the coming and then the Bible. That seemed like a bit much.
No, you take it all and then you throw it in a dumpster.
Okay.
And then you go, I got me. I don't need no horse shit written by ancient fucking, you know, bull dykes, pedophiles, robbers, con men, and, you know.
And there's just a shot that slowly zooms out from the sky, and then background music comes, and that's the big closer to your movie, where you discover yourself.
From the arms of an angel. As you're whacking off on your problems.
No one sees you pantomime jerking off.
And then you're shitting. I don't know the next fucking verse except for in the arms of an angel.
I can't enjoy that song. Not that I necessarily enjoyed the song before, but due to those animal commercials, that's all it makes me think of now. Yeah. Sad animals.
Sad animals. Ugh. And here's the problem. Do you know how much money each of those sad animals made? Nothing. They were exploited. They didn't get residuals on those commercials.
They weren't SAG-AFTRA.
They weren't SAG-AFTRA. They got shitty fucking Mighty Dog that day, if they were lucky. The crew was eating way better than them during that fucking
shoot.
Well,
yeah, the dogs have to look
starving. And then they shot him in the head afterward, like a snuff film.
Do you think that happened?
Yeah.
That should be a documentary. Where are they now? The animals from the commercials.
Yeah. You should have cushy fucking lives right now. You should have, that commercial should have paid for all your surgeries to get your stupid tumors cut off your fucking dumb head.
That's a lot of words right there.
You know what? You used to, you know, you would breed dogs. And the thing of dog breeding, you want to get the cutest dog or the dog with the nicest shaped head or whatever. And then some fucking eugenicist looks, puts a ruler under his face and goes, yeah, that's a good terrier. And then it wins the dog show after years and generations of incest. That's a perfect terrier. Whatever. But the point is, when you don't want a terrier, if it's a muddy terrier, you shoot it in the head.
Have you ever had to put one of your own pets down?
Yep.
Yeah? I assume you shot it in the head?
No, I put it, I took my Bible, and I wrote down all my insecurities on a piece of paper, and my dog, and I shot my dog on the head. I cut him and shit on it.
Now,
burned it, put it in a dumpster.
But seriously, did you ever have to put an animal down?
Yeah. My dog Snowball had cancer on his arm, on his leg after I saw a South Park movie. Me and my sister, we wished cancer onto the dog, and then it got cancer.
You really wish? Why would you? Wait, what does seeing the South Park movie after wishing?
Terrence, like, wishes cancer onto Philip or something at one point.
What are you doing, Scott? I'm wishing cancer upon you. Cancer? That's right. I'm trying to give you cancer with my mind. Stop that. Hey, don't give me cancer.
Just wished cancer onto the dog. It got cancer. It died. It had to be put down by a needle.
Did you get in your head that maybe you had temporary superpowers and you could have wished anything and you wasted it on the dog having cancer?
You know, I haven't wished cancer onto anything else because I realize I'm pretty powerful.
You could wish good things, you know, like for a blowjob every morning or for an interesting podcast guest for episode 34. But nope, this is what you get.
I got Chet Weil.
That's me.
Many people think he's Jewish. He doesn't smoke pot.
I know.
I want to talk about this, too. Now, we're both single bachelor men.
You're single bachelor man. I'm...
Oh, no, you're not.
I don't know what I am.
You're
in
an in-between zone.
Yeah, I'm sure by the time this podcast comes out, I'll have some clarity.
I don't know.
For the sake of conversation, I can be single. Why not? Given, based on the last 8 texts in my phone, I would say I'm single right now. But I'm sure after this podcast, when I take time to respond to those, I'll not be single anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's the type of healthy dialogue I'm involved in.
Oh, well, that sounds fucking sustainable. Great. here's what I want to talk about. I want to talk about internet porn, though.
All right.
There's this internet porn. Okay, it used to be that you would have to see a double blowjob. Two girls, you know, sucking the dick.
You just have to get really drunk and see double.
No, you'd have to, yeah, or you'd have to be a king, or you'd have to be a fucking sultan of whatever. You know what I mean?
Sultan of the blowjob.
They used to train, the first assassins ever made were called hashashins. They would give these people hashish and mind control these kind of dopey peasant people into unwilling murderers. Because they all felt, you know, there was this ancient culture that they felt like guilty for doing murder. So they would give them hashish and they would push them into a harem of women. And they would, you know, the harem of women would take care of all of their needs as they would be blasted on fucking hash, right?
Okay.
And then the emperor dude would bring them up and say, I have taken you to paradise. You know, I've given you 77 virgins, you know. In that, I can actually do that. I am God. Reveal. And they would go, what? And then he brainwashed these people.
To make them think, because they've just experienced this, oh, this must be God.
And so he
This is real. You're not off in crazy delusional land right now.
100, this is all fact.
Okay.
Hashashins. They gave them hashish. These were the first assassins. Mind control. These are all facts. All
right.
You're getting your doctorate in fucking street smarts right now.
How much does this cost?
It's free. It's a podcast.
Let's do it.
I pay money to host this shit. I smoked pot the other day. I was watching this double blowjob video. These 18-year-old girls are fucking... It's unbelievable what you can see.
The government's flying over us right now based on the things you're talking
about. They're trying to shut the podcast down. My question to you, what do you search for internet porn when, you, when you're searching for it?
What's
your keywords?
To borrow from Ryan Singer... who was a guest on my podcast, the Dunk Tank podcast. He doesn't watch porn anymore. He talked about how it affects him. Like, you just get more and more crazy shit has to happen.
Right.
And, like, his thing at the end was, like, he had to believe the two people were in love. And I kind of feel like
Ew.
That's where it got for me. Like, it had to be, these people really care about each other, and there's emotional intimacy.
Really?
And that's, I kind of feel like that's, like, nothing crazy. Nothing, no multiple people, no fists, no giant toys. Just, like, those two people could really love each other, and I could have that someday, too. And then, but
so
now,
how did they express that? Was it just the sex, or was there a little pre-story where they would, like, have a little tea party and say what they loved about each other's genitals?
I think it's, a lot of it's just high-definition, slow, non-graphic... with a little music behind it. That's all to manipulate your emotion. It's like, you remember being a kid before the internet was really a thing, and you'd watch your porn by, like, staying up late if you had Showtime or Cinemax. Or if you didn't have Showtime or Cinemax, wait till it's, like, a free weekend of Cinemax. And then, like, Red Shoe Diaries or whatever, I would come at 1 in the morning, and you'd find your favorite pair of silk boxers when you're 13 and hope your parents are asleep so you can watch it. Like... that maybe I just discovered that. Maybe that I'm just trying to recreate my childhood of, like, this almost softcore porn. Like, this is what hopefully no one walks in, you know?
Yeah.
I feel like I'm gonna play this tape back to a therapist and try to figure out what's going on here.
Yeah, several doctors are tuning in and they're gonna give a sample Prozac in the mail.
I guess it doesn't have to be, it has to be believable. I think that's what works for me. And, like, so when you say double blowjob porn.
Yeah.
I can't believe that that'll ever happen to me, so I just have no... I'm like, oh, this wouldn't happen. This is so far
fetishes. No, but when you...
It's like comedy, truth in comedy. My favorite comedy is when people are sharing their soul. It's not like, oh, here's a wacky thing. I mean, at times, every once in a while, sure, to mix it up. But my favorite comics are people that are just cathartically working through their shit. And maybe that's why I want my porn, too, to believe these are two people. It's whether it's they're in love or it's like, oh, a guy really did hide a camera and his girlfriend is doing these things because she isn't that good. Like, she makes mistakes and there are weird noises, but she's not a pro. I don't want to see a pro. That's too polished. I don't want an overly polished thing. I want, like, the open mic of porn to see the process and how it's going and believe this is real and raw and it's not perfect, but there's something beautiful to it.
When I smoke pot and watch a double blowjob video, I can mind control myself to do the entertainment business. You know what I mean?
Oh, you don't need to touch? Is that what you're saying?
No, no, no. I whack off to, you know, internet porn of two people giving the blowjob while I smoke pot, right?
Okay.
And then I can mind control myself to have a shitty podcast.
Oh!
I'm my own master. I'm mind controlling myself to do my own destiny.
All right. So am I under mind control right now? I'm not sure.
You're getting secondhand mind control.
This is, for all the conversations I've had with strangers in cars, this has to be one of the top five weirdest. Maybe even top three. So many talks of fluids and personal things.
Did you see my fucking acts, dude? I just talked.
Well, the time I saw you last time was pretty much a meltdown and being like, "Fuck this room." That's what that was.
I remember that.
You're like, this doesn't count. I think you even said that on stage. This doesn't count.
No, I said, I just came off as desperate. Oh, let's talk about insecurity, though, because the chicken, okay, so we went to 7-Eleven. We had a little podcast break. We had to regroup.
We got Twix ice cream bars.
They were so delicious. It is a journey going through a Twix ice cream
50%
bar.
50% of your daily saturated fat, totally.
You feel like
it.
You've learned something.
I feel like that was my religion right there.
Yeah, if Twix started the religion, I'd join the cult.
Yeah, so this really hot girl walks around the corner, and we're in the car, and she just gives us like a look. Like, she's sexually frustrated and wants somebody to do something about it, but not us. But she was checking to see if we were capable for a second. Like, I shared all this with you, and you're like, yeah, that's just, like, comic insecurity. Like, she wasn't thinking anything about us. She just had some thought and a weird look on her face and didn't even acknowledge our existence in the shadows of the car with the lights off. But that's where my head is. It's all about me. I think, oh, this girl must have been, like, playing in her head if I could satisfy her on a sexual and hopefully emotional level, because that's what's important to me.
That's the kind of porn you like.
Yeah.
That's how you want to make love to her. Look, I don't know. I think that, you know, maybe it's true that she was like, oh, are they going to look at me and whistle and chat me up? Because that's how I get my validation.
I hope that thing on the dashboard is something they're recording a podcast with, but and they'll talk about me on the internet.
When you're a bunch of hot chicks, when you're three hot chicks, you know, and you walk in, like, to anywhere, I'm sure everyone just gives them a hard time. You know, like, because, you know, girls don't understand that the levels of testosterone and the filthy things that are constantly going through our mind. You know what I mean? Like, just going through puberty, I remember going, it is insane that I have, like, this level of horniness, and they let me go out at night. Or, like I'm allowed to, like, leave the house, I'm not locked up.
Now, or when you were a kid?
No, when I was a kid.
Oh, yeah.
And still kinda now. You know?
Yeah, that's why I had the seatbelt off and the door unlocked, so I can leave at any second.
He used to have the seatbelt on, and then we went down a weird alley. Oh, I just locked the door.
Whoops. Oh, no. Things are getting... Childproof locks! Help! I'm with a stranger. But, I mean...
What I like about conspiracies is I feel like if there's, like, a photograph, you know, it's like the reverse image of a photograph, the negative image of a photograph. The negative image of headlines are conspiracies, you know what I mean? So I think it is good just to know the other side and how the other think, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I think there's something to be said for having, like, a healthy distrust of your government.
Yes.
Because, I mean, look at all this NSA stuff coming out.
Yeah, of
course. People just blindly trust their government.
And you used to have a warrant to look for a fucking, you know, stolen property in order to go in someone's house.
Yeah. But okay,
now you digitally download all the information ever.
Yeah, we all are.
With no warrants.
We all are pretty much, by joining Facebook and sharing so many things over email, it's not like a journal in your house that you can walk up and physically protect and somebody has to break into your house and take it, which... somebody else only wanted to do, they could. But it, the access of information of how easily someone can access your Facebook or Gmail or whatever they need to do.
Oh, I'm working on this show. And it's called Nashville Confidential. One of the chicks on it just has a face. You know people who have a face where they're just like, ugh. Ooh, it's like they like smelled something bad wherever they look.
It's the face I make every morning in the mirror.
But it's like also that hot chick in the 7-Eleven. They all kind of have this face, like, and this chick in the show is like super hot, you know. And she's like just like has this face where it's like, oh, you're so hot, but you just are always like
oh, this is stupid. That's what your face looks like. Even though, yeah. Even if she's smiling. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like
What's
that.
What's with some people's face who just are have an expression always?
Because
if you see those facial contortions in other people, it means that they smelled something weird or something's gross. But that's just their face.
Baseline. Maybe like how our brains are constantly being insecure about things, their brains are constantly just judging the fuck out of everybody.
Is that it? Is that and that it's might making be it. Their face do that?
Just be like that kind of surprised look, or like a little disgusted. Yeah. Like what is going on? It's a little surprised, a little disgusted, a little inquisitive.
But like also, like if you're a blonde, super hot, like 10 chick walking around, and everyone is just like, oh, like guys' thoughts around them. My thought around her, like when she wiggles her ass, I have an erection for like 20 minutes, like putting the show together, and I have to like push my desk under the thing. She's so hot. But then I look at her face and she's like, ugh. And it's like, yeah, well, you know what I'm thinking. You know what I mean? Maybe she's psychic.
Maybe.
And she can hear male thoughts around her.
Or so maybe like, you're making it out to be this huge thing and she just doesn't have a good face.
She does have a good face, though. It's like she just looks like a hot girl going, ugh.
Maybe she knows she's sold something inside of her to be on this TV show.
People, or they post all their fucking shit online, all their emotional shit, just download. Like, instead of having a husband in a cave, they have to, like, you know, it's evolved now to in our society, they're, like, blasting on Facebook.
Just because you can say something doesn't mean you should.
And then it's tattooed on the internet forever.
And people use Facebook and blogs the way they're venting cathartically. They don't need other people to see it. They just need to get it out. And you could get the same mental effect. It's just like how if you write a shitty thought down. If you have a negative belief or thought and you're writing on a piece of paper and you throw it out, like studies have shown, that can actually make you feel better just by doing that action.
Yeah, yeah,
and
yeah.
A lot of things people complain about on Facebook, if you just had a journal to get that shittiness out of your head, the world doesn't need to see that. You don't need to affect people's portrayal or image of you. You just need to get it out. But Facebook, Twitter, and blogs don't have to be the outlet for everything.
Yeah. I remember in when I was at a church retreat, when I was a Catholic, it was cool because you do, like, write a letter to God and then burn it, you know what I mean? And then you feel
that
like,
was something Catholics do?
We did it.
That's it's a witchcraft. Common practice?
It's probably witchcraft.
Oh, okay. I think I might have written a letter to Santa, not only telling them how good I was, but, like, how shitty my sisters were, or maybe, like, something shitty my parents did, so I should get the good gifts and not them. But then you give that letter to your parents, and they probably just opened it to see what you want for Christmas, and then they read these shitty things you write about your family.
Mm-hmm.
I just realized how fucked up that is. One, that I would write shitty things to Santa about my family. But two, my parents opened that and had no way they could have a healthy conversation about it with me. Because how would they know what I
said
to Santa?
So wait a minute. You wrote a letter that said Santa, North Pole. You didn't have a stamp and you said, hey, Ma, can I have a stamp? And then she just went, what do you got there? And then she read the letter?
No, I think growing up, at least for a couple years, you would write the letter to Santa, like first, second, third grade. You would write the letter to Santa, and then you'd have an envelope, and you'd write North Pole on it, and then send it in the mail. Like, I never physically took the letter to the post office. So I know the post office does get, like, an absurd amount of mail, to the North Pole for Santa, and they have some procedure that mail does go someplace, but I would assume my parents just opened the letter and asked me what I wanted for Christmas. I remember, you know, you kind of suspect that Santa isn't real, but when I figured it out, it was in the fifth grade when I got, I found gifts early in the attic that were to me from Santa, and I called my parents out on it. And my mom's like, well, Santa can't possibly go to every house on Christmas, so he goes to some houses early and drops them off. So, of course, I believe that like a fucking idiot kid.
Mm-hmm.
And then where I caught him was in fifth grade. I got this toy barn set. And what I would do, we'd have a camera, and you know, thank Santa for certain gifts, which has to feel shitty to parents, because, like, for the most part, my parents would... The things from my mom and dad would be, like, clothes or books or something lame. And the things from Santa would be, like, awesome gifts. So I'd be like, thank you, Santa, mom and dad. Why didn't you get me something cool? But remember, I thanked my mom for this toy barn set. Like, thanks, Mom. This is exactly what I wanted. Where'd you get it? And then she told me. And I was like, ha! It said, to me from Santa. How would you know? And then she's like, well, sometimes Santa doesn't have time to get all the gifts, so he has to go shopping. So he gives me the list to go shopping. And I'm like, all right, enough of this bullshit.
Your fucking house of cards is falling apart, Ma. Yeah.
So I have a cousin who's schizophrenic. And he got out of an institution probably last year, and he was calling everybody with kind of revelations. And, you know, I was in a beach house when I was like 16 with him, and we all the family rented a beach house, right? And there was one instance where, like, we were each taking turns with a boogie board. We kept switching the boogie boards back and forth. And I was like, hey, it's my turn with the boogie board. And he tried to punch me in the face. So... That was one sign that he was a bit off. So, but, you know, whatever. I brushed it off. Later on, we're watching Skinemax together. You know, like cousins do sometimes. Yeah. It's like softcore pornography. You know, I don't think about it. Whatever.
How old are you at the time?
16.
Okay.
15. Then, so then last year, he's getting out of an institution. He calls the family one by one. Like, everyone in my family, their personal cell phone, and has a 15-minute conversation about how on that beach trip, he, you know, masturbated into my sister's underwear. You know what I mean?
While she was wearing them?
No. She, like, got them out of the hamper and, okay. like, used her underwear to masturbate. You know what I mean?
Okay. Was that him or one of his personalities?
No, that was him. No, okay. He called and said this. And then he called me back he was calling me like once a week with like a different revelation from our childhood. And then he'd be
different
like
underwear,
oh yeah.
Each week?
No, sometimes it was just like, "Oh, you know, I filled your fish tank with butter." You know, like your fish tank filler, I like filled it with butter. I was like, all right. And it was like every week it would be like, oh yeah, I guess I maybe remember that.
Actually not a bad idea if you're raising fish that you can eat. Just put a little butter in the water slowly. Like you think.
Fatten them up.
Yeah, fatten them up. They'd taste like butter.
Yeah, a nice already buttered salmon.
All right. Or koi fish. I'm ruining your story.
Now he lives with my aunt. So basically she can get his government money because he gets government money for, you know what I mean?
That sounds like a normal family.
She is an alcoholic and I try to convince him like, hey man, if you got medication and money for the government, you should probably like get your own house. Anyway.
And how did he take that?
He hasn't called me in a very long time ever since because I guess... They have a weird codependent relationship.
He's not good. He doesn't like practical advice that could be helpful.
It's weird how, it's like once doctors tell you that you have a mental illness and that you are sick and the chemicals in your brain, I feel like some people take that as an excuse to kind of...
I can just be a shitty person.
Yeah. No, what I'm saying is the mentally handicapped are lazy.
It can validate your like
yes.
certain failures or goals you haven't reached in life. When really, if you just put in the hard work, I'm guilty of that. Just like basic like depression and anxiety. Be like, well, I can't do this today because I'm depressed. No.
Yeah,
you get in this inner battle. Now I sound like a schizophrenic.
No, we're all crazy.
Inner battle in your head.
Everyone's
in
different
your head. Where you're like, well, I can't do this because I'm depressed, so I can't. And then like the other voice is like, no, shut the fuck up, asshole. But that's really just if you read different books about the arts and creativity, that's just your own what do they call it? Like your own censor or your own what's the other term? Resistance. Like, you just need to shut that voice up that doesn't want you to get out of your comfort zone and be creative.
Yeah.
And then get out there and do shit.
It's your inhibitions. Drink, people. Get on a regimen of booze.
Drink Perrier. That's what you're drinking right now, and it looks delicious.
Oh, that's great.
I'm drinking from my plastic water bottle like a poor person.
That's another episode. The Highway motherfucking Diaries in the bag. I got a show at Flappers July 19th at 9:30. It's a Friday show in the Yoo-Hoo Room. You know, get tickets through my website. Go to the appearances section at erichollerbach.com, purchase tickets, and I'm going to have a lot of new stuff.
Yeah, I will hopefully be there to rig the voting system if there is one.
I think it's a proper show. I don't think it's a contest. What's going on? You got to go to chetwild.com.
Yeah, when does this come out?
Tuesday.
Tuesday. Okay, so if you're listening Tuesday night, you can see me at the West Side Comedy Theater for the Unpopular Opinion show. And then Wednesday night, I'll be at the Wednesday Industry Showcase, whatever they're calling it, at Flappers. And, yeah. Cool. Before this podcast comes out on Sunday, I'm headlining, watch out, I'm headlining a show in a tobacco lounge in Riverside.
Oh, that sounds awesome.
That's how, see, I was saying that sarcastically, but you truly are like, oh, more than 7 minutes. Let's call back to the beginning.
That sounds fucking great.
That's, so yeah, Sunday, Tobacco Lounge, Riverside.
Are they going to give you a cigar?
We'll find out. I hope so.
Yeah. I think, yeah, you should go up there with a cigar, and then they'll sell like 10 times more cigars.
Yeah, that's, yeah, marketing, subliminal.
You gotta, yeah, you got to get them, get kids smoking. Get the marketing in their
there
brain.
You go.
Well, they are consumers.
Thanks for having me, man. And,
yeah.
I guess this is a podcast, but you can still drive me home because we're sitting on a side street where somebody's doing a terrible job parallel parking in front of us right now.
The windows.
Oh, there's the curb.
Are open, and some people have guns.
on that note, let's get the fuck out.
See ya.